Welcome to the Mary Gostello Girl Ahead podcast, the weekly unique insight into luxury hospitality around the world by those who know it best. Produced by Allmont Global.
Chris Gabaldon heads Marriott's luxury brands. And there's a whole range of luxury brands, from what I would call lifestyle through to traditional white glove service. Chris is your man if you want to differentiate one of those brands from the other. Listen to the chat that I had with him. Chris, you have masses of brands. I don't want the whole lot of the Marriott family, but what does Marriott Luxury consist of? How many brands? What are they?
Yeah, there's eight luxury brands, right? So you've got the Ritz-Carlton, Ritz-Carlton Reserve, the St. Regis brand, Edition, W, the Luxury Collection Hotels, and the JW Marriott Hotels.
Now, what's fascinating, for instance, Edition and some of the other brands could be put into lifestyle. How do lifestyle and luxury overlap?
No, it's a good question. It's interesting. I think, one, maybe lifestyle and luxury are kind of loosely used terms and maybe sometimes overused to some degree. But if you think about it, lifestyle and luxury still come down to personalization, right? So it's a personal relationship with the client. It's a personal relationship with the general manager, personal relationship with the experiences you're trying to collect. And you know, they live on different levels. Lifestyle lives in a very luxurious space if that's where you'd want it to play. But lifestyle can live in other categories. I don't know that you would try to distinguish luxury and lifestyle other than by kind of style of hotel, maybe a little more heavily entertainment focused, a little more design oriented. But there's certainly a lot of room in the luxury space to have luxury, sort of classic luxury hotels and your lifestyle luxury hotels.
Am I right in thinking that lifestyle guests across the board are going to be just a little bit younger than classic luxury?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think in general, across the board, you might say that those in a lifestyle hotel, call it an Edition hotel or W hotel, might skew a little bit younger. But I think it's really a state of mind, right? It's sort of a place of the heart. You might see that they would skew more heavily towards an entertainment culture, or maybe one that leans more deeply into design or fashion or style. So if that skews slightly more younger, then that might be the case. But I would tell you there's a really diverse group of clients that are in luxury and in our lifestyle hotels. And a lot of it, I think, just comes down to personal preference and sort of what's in their heart, what they enjoy.
Talking of clients, I was talking to somebody earlier in another part of the world who's just spent 3 weeks with quite a lot of billionaires. I said, what do these billionaires want? They want privacy. They want exclusivity. They want something new. They want something that is fabulous, but not necessarily big chandeliers. And they must have something that is fun, F-U-N. Would you agree with that, Chris?
I couldn't agree more, particularly the part about fun, privacy. And I think you hinted at it, which is show me something interesting. Show me something, because I can buy and obtain anything that I want. Show me something that I might not have access to. Give me the insights or the knowledge, or give me an experience. Let me taste, touch, feel, experience something that would not be in my normal repertoire of things that I would see. And obviously these are people that can see and experience pretty much anything that they would like. So you have to constantly unpack for them, right? Constantly peel back the experiences and the depth of of the conversation for them, right? Help them explore new territories.
This is fascinating. Had we been having this discussion a few years ago, the word experience might not come into the conversation. Today, it is all-encompassing. Experiences with the locale, with the local community, involvement in the sustainability and the environment concerns of the locale. Is sustainability a big catch for all your brands in your portfolio, Chris?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple of ways to look at sustainability. The answer to that is yes, right? The answer to that is yes. As a company, Marriott is, concerned on many fronts about social responsibility, and sustainability is incredibly important. I think as a travel industry, we have a responsibility to think about the footprint that we are leaving. It's not always easy, as we all know, particularly in an environment where we have a pandemic and it's forcing us to change our behaviors in some way when you think about single-use items. But when I think we come out of this, we're not only going to return to an era where sustainability is becoming more important to the traveler and to the organizations and to our owners and to our guests, I think it's going to return to a place where sustainability is going to become an even more important part of the conversation, right? I think COVID has told us, let's make sure we're paying attention to the environment and wellness and all those sort of things.
Oh, wellness is such a key, crucial factor at the moment. And you're smiling. It's obviously very important to you. I'm trying to think. You have Bliss Spas in your W hotels. Do your other brands have their own signature wellness facilities, Chris?
So most of the brands have spas that we operate sort of under the brand, right? So now we do have the Iridium Spa with St. Regis brand. The Bliss Spa has actually been discontinued. It's actually now the Away Spa with the W brand. It's just an evolution.
It shows I'm out of date.
No. It's just a recent change. And with all good intents. But most of the brands carry their spa underneath the hotel or underneath the brand itself. But you're right, wellness is an incredible, it's an important part of my personal journey, but I think it's an incredibly important part of where the consumer's going. And post-pandemic, Mary, you know this, everybody's focused on wellness.
They sure are. What's your own program? Wellness mentally, wellness physically, wellness nutritionally, Chris?
You know, it's something you just continue to peel back, right? And mm-hmm. Wellness 10 years ago was about being fit and having the ability to run a marathon or reaching your own personal physical goals. And I think today wellness is much deeper, right? Wellness has got a mental aspect. People want to deal with stress. They believe that holistic medicine is important to them. They believe that taking care of the entire body is important, right? So the mind, the heart, the spirit, as well as the physical aspects. And so your wellness programs today have to be so much more comprehensive than they were 5, 6, 7, even 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, you think about the impact that COVID has had on our clients and, you know, having to stay at home, you can't travel, you lose stimulation, a lot of stress, certainly just from the economic environment, not to mention all of the health and well-being and sort of the tragedies that have come along with that. The elevation of mental, spiritual, sort of restorative type wellness is incredibly important. And that's very different than walking into a weight room and throwing around heavy weights and then going and eating a specialized diet.
It sure is. Chris, you are talking about people coming to one of your brands. How loyal are the regular clients to one of your particular brands? Obviously, if they're Bonvoy, they will choose a Marriott property. But do you find Ritz-Carlton people are Ritz-Carlton people? And for somebody who doesn't know the difference between your brands, How do you distinguish one child from another?
You just asked two really big questions, but I'll touch on the first and the second one. I'll do it quickly for you. You know, I think the first is the Marriott Bonvoy program offers a lot of reasons to be loyal and engaged in our brands across the world, and tremendous benefits to those guests, particularly on the personalization and recognition side of things. So that gives great lift to our brands. You asked the second question, though, about any particular brands. And I would tell you, if you take a brand like the Ritz-Carlton, which is our, you know, by arguably our largest luxury brand, you have loyalists there committed. They believe in that style. They believe in that service. They're highly engaged in the culture. They have friends in the brands. And regularly, you will hear stories of people seeking out their next trip at a Ritz-Carlton, right? So they are looking for not only what is a destination, but more importantly, I haven't been to the Ritz-Carlton in this city. And they'll seek it out and they'll travel because they're committed. And we see that with other brands, right? The W, for instance, has a highly loyal following. They love the experience, and they love to indulge in what the W is all about. You see the same thing with St. Regis. It stands for, living exquisitely, right? Being the best dressed in town. It's about elegance and sophistication. So, you know, with eight brands comes a lot of diversity. And yes, affluent consumers seek out a variety of choice, but you also see them seeking out particular brands because it appeals to their lifestyle, it appeals to them. So,
you have broken Ritz-Carlton up into mainstream at Ritz-Carlton and Ritz-Carlton Reserves. Are you likely to do the same thing with some of your other brands?
No, we don't have plans to create sort of a second brand or a second business line from any of the others. Ritz-Carlton's been around for, you know, over 100 years. And, you know, it's a brand that carries tremendous equity. The clients know it globally. And so you actually see a couple of product line extensions from the Ritz-Carlton. There's the Reserve, which is a smaller, more indigenous, more private, very exclusive brand. Plays in the highest tier of Uber luxury, with the highest levels of personalized service and you know, fascinating and interesting design, engaging cuisine, a very local and indigenous personality. But you also have other extensions like the Residences. We have some of the largest residential products in the Ritz-Carlton brand. And then obviously you know about the Ritz-Carlton Yacht Collection, which will launch in 2021.
This is so exciting. It's been on the cards for a long time. What a lucky thing, actually, it didn't launch a little bit earlier. So you're going to be captain at sea as well as everything else. Chris, how far do you, in your role as being the custodian of Marriott's luxury brands, how far ahead do you look at where luxury is going?
Well, I would say generally we're looking 3 to 5 years, right? Today we're trying to figure out the next 12 months with an eye towards what's happening in 23, 24, and 25. It generally, I think you see luxury trends on a 3 to 5 year time horizon, right? You see shifts in wealth, you see shifts in wealth by demographics. Today, what you're seeing is the democratization of wealth, right? It's much more about being a meritocracy than it is about traditional family-driven, handed-down wealth. Majority of the affluents that are traveling today, the mass of them, have earned their money. They don't come from it, right? And so it has democratized their approach to thinking about brands and their experiences. And they're quite proud of it, and they should be. You also see just such a much, much more inclusive environment in luxury today. And that's a great thing for travel. And that's where it needs to go. So I think, you know, the mega trends have been on the horizon for probably the past 3 years. COVID and the pandemic pushed some of them forward more aggressively, and many of them for the better in these times. And I say that with obviously all sensitivities to the health crisis we have today.
With whom do you benchmark outside the hotel sector? Fashion, drinks?
It's a good question. We don't spend a lot of time. I mean, obviously, we keep up with what our competitors are doing, and we're lucky that we have tremendous competitors and great relationships with them. But the majority of our time is spent looking at, you know, with 8 luxury brands, part of a larger organization, we look at organizations like LVMH or Kering or Luxottica or any of the automobile companies, because they have a much larger portfolio. But on an individual basis, we spend time for individual brands looking at, you know, fashion brands, entertainment. We're always curious as what's going on in the beverage industry, retail. As you know, the product cycle in fashion and retail moves much quicker than it does in the hotel business, just because of the capital that's needed. And so you can look for trends more quickly in places like fashion, retail, entertainment.
Chris, thank you for sharing the details of your brands, and it's going to be so exciting to see whether you bring in any more brands and to see how you evolve the splendid luxury brands that you already have. Next week, I'm going for China, and Michael Hensler, who is based in Beijing, heads Kempinski for the whole of Asia Pacific. I love the Kempinski hotels in China. Some of them are big, some of them are very new and not so big. Some of them have, goodness, beer houses inside that the younger generation Chinese, men and women, absolutely adore. Many of them have fine collections of modern Chinese art. Kempinski does have another brand in China, Nuo. And I was pleasantly surprised how suitable Nuo is for the whole world, not only for Chinese. Anyway, please join me next week for my podcast next week. See you then.
You've been listening to the Mary Gostello Girl Ahead podcast. Join us next week for another extraordinary insight into the world of luxury travel. And don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about the show.